So, let us start the sermon. So, suffering, or more specific, Christian suffering. How is your faith affected when you meet suffering and heartaches? How do you find strength and comfort? As Christians, suffering is a part of following Jesus. If we follow Jesus, who was suffering so much, then also we need to expect that also we will suffer. And if we want to be faithful in our following of Him, then it's something that we need to understand, that this is something that expects us in one or another way. Philippians 1:29 even says that we have not only been given the grace to believe in Christ, but also to suffer for His sake. So suffering is in some way central in the Christian life. And in Sweden, it's not as clear or as evident and as bad as in many other places in the world where we are persecuted. And many times we're not directly discriminated. There's in some ways not anything that makes it hard for us to meet here to celebrate the service, but maybe the snow last week, but otherwise there's no great hindrance for us to meet. But even if we have relatively well the situation here in Sweden, it's relevant for us to speak about suffering, and it's something that we are meeting. If it's self-denial, struggle against sin, we see that the sin is there that we struggle with, or a society that is like against our Christian values. And if we're being questioned, if you want to follow the Bible. But the Bible is not silent when it comes to this area. There's many examples on how Christians should suffer well. And we can see that both in the New Testament and the Old Testament, and also the example of Jesus himself and Paul, who was one of the ones who suffered the most in the Bible, a life of suffering, prison, and ultimately being executed. And it was not just like this for Paul, but also a reality for many Christians at that time. But also like this today and other places in the world. And in today's text, we will read about how Paul is writing to the church in Thessaloniki. It was a church that consisted of Christians who got to suffer in many different ways. So the text we'll read today is 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 3 to 12. We're reading together. And I will read even from verse 1. So it's verse 1 to 2, and then, but the sermon will be from verse 3 to 12. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians, in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, as is right, because your faith is growing abundantly and the love of every one of you for one another is increasing. Therefore, we ourselves boast about you in the churches of God for your steadfastness and faith in all your persecutions and in the afflictions that you're enduring. This is evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be considered worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are also suffering, since indeed God considers it just to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to grant relief to you who are afflicted as well as to us. when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know the God, and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might, when he comes on the day to be glorified in his saints and to be marveled at among all who believed, because our testimony to you was believed. To this end, we always pray for you that, Lord God, may make you worthy of his calling and may fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by his power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we can listen to it. Thank you that they have so much to tell us. And we pray that you would be with us and speak to us by your Holy Spirit through your word, and may we be encouraged and reminded who you are in all your greatness and glory. We pray in your Son's name. So we now have a few sermons who are focused on Paul's prayers. And last week, Ronnie preached from 1 Thessalonians, and it was from chapter 3, verse 9 to 13. And one of the main points was that Paul encouraged them to continue to grow in love. And we heard from, for example, from chapter 3, verse 12, where Paul is writing, and may the Lord let you grow in your love and overflow in your love to each other and to everyone, as well as our love towards you. So the encouragement last week was to grow in love, that the Lord may help you to grow in love. And Paul is continuing a little bit on this theme today in 2 Thessalonians. But he emphasized how he would like them to grow in faith and to grow in faith during suffering. And it brings us to our first point in verse 3 to 5. It's a faith that grows despite suffering. So a faith that is growing despite suffering. We'll read again verse 3 to 5. We ought always to give thanks to God for your brothers, as is right, because of your faith growing abundantly, and the love of every one of you for one another is increasing. Therefore, we ourselves boast about you in the churches of God for your steadfastness and faith in all your persecutions and all the afflictions that you are enduring. This is evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be considered worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you are also suffering. So just like the former epistle that Paul sent to the church, he's encouraging them. And in this, he thanks God. And in the text last week, we saw how Paul was praying that the church would grow in love. In other words, like he wrote that, may the Lord let you grow in and overflow in love towards one another and to everyone, just as our love towards you. And here in verse 3, we see that they now have done that. When he says that we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, as right is right, because your faith is growing abundantly and the love of every one of you for one another is increasing. So God has worked in their lives during the hard circumstances. They have grown in love. Their faith has grown. And this despite those hard circumstances. I don't know how you feel when you think about growing in faith and love despite hard circumstances. But if I should be honest, those verses often reminds me how I lack in joy when it comes to suffering. But also how I lack in the faith in God's sovereignty. I mean, I believe in that, but in practice, I can mistrust. since I graduated this summer, I've had a hard time finding a full-time job in the area, the field where I've been educated in. And I have to admit that I often feel discouraged because of this. And involuntary unemployment is not like a specific Christian heartache, but it's a regular heartache that many go through. And it's much smaller heartache than what they were going through in Thessaloniki with persecution because of their faith, people who wanted them bad because of their faith. But the point that I want to bring up here is, how do we react in hard seasons of life and when we face resistance? How much do we trust in God that He still has everything in His hands, regardless of what's happening? How much do we trust in God? And this was what the church did here. They were growing in their faith despite those hard circumstances. So how is it with us? Do we see that God is sovereign, that He has everything in His hands? Can we see ourselves in how Paul is describing the church in Thessaloniki? Do we see our heartaches and suffering as an opportunity to grow in faith and trust in God? If not, how can we find hope in our circumstances during sufferings and resistance? It brings us to point number two. So God's just judgment and the glorification of Jesus. And we read in verse 5 again to verse 12. So God's just judgment and Jesus' glorification. So verse 5 to 12. This is the evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be considered worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you are also suffering. Since indeed God considered it just to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to grant relief to you who are afflicted, as well as to us, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God, and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His might, when He comes on that day to be glorified in His saints and to be marveled among all who have believed, because of our testimony to you was believed. To this end, we always pray for you that our God may make you worthy of His calling and may fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by His power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So once again, we see here that the Christians in Thessaloniki endured suffering because they were actively persecuted. And there was those who were resisting and made them suffer. We don't know exactly what they had to endure, but they were inflicted. They were persecuted, and it was because of their faith in Jesus. And Paul's way in comforting them is to help them to look forward to the future, to remind them of what's ahead of them. So God is just and righteous, and He will not let them be inflicted unpunished, and it will be an end of this, and there's a day coming of judgment. So Jesus, he tells us in the Gospel of Matthew 5 how we should act when we endure suffering. You have heard that it was said, eye for an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. I tell you, don't resist the one who is evil. If somebody hits you on the right cheek, then turn the other cheek towards him. In other words, we should not take a revenge ourselves. That's not how we will act towards our enemies. Paul is encouraging the church to look forward to the day when the Lord Jesus will come back and to entrust the judgment to God. We read in verse 7 and 8. And to grant relief to you who are afflicted as well as to us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. So Jesus is coming back and he's coming back to judge. And it's important to take note here that God is doing this actively. He's not passive in judgment. There are some tendencies sometimes to diminish God's active part to punish. So something that we could say when we read this is it means to be separated from the Lord's face and his glory and power. And it's that they become anew, their own decision, that they are separated themselves from the Lord. But it's also important to read before that God punishment them with plagues, the ones who inflict you. And so this is God's job, that Jesus is punishing those who do reject God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is a comfort for us as Christians. Through all types of suffering, justice will be upheld. And this ought to be such an incredible comfort to us, regardless of what we're going through, regardless of what the suffering or heartaches, the cost of them, regardless of that, then Jesus is being glorified. By judging. But we also need to remember that Jesus is glorified in that he died and rose for our sins. We also deserve to suffer for our sins. But God's solution was that Jesus was inflicted in our place. And verse 9 again says, they will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. And when Jesus died on the cross, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He knew also that at this moment he was separated from the glory of the Lord in our place. And just as verse 10 says, when he comes on that day to be glorified in his saints and to be marveled among all who have believed, because of our testimony to you was believed. And this is through faith in Jesus. So look forward to the day when you meet hard times and suffering. If it's based on suffering because of the sufferings are based on what people do against you, or because of other circumstances in your life, or because of your own sin, all of this on this day will stop ceasing. So let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have spoken to us today. And we pray that if I've said something, that we will forget it, but that your word would be reminded. We remember your word, and we thank you for all your grace. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you that the solution for all our problems is in the cross, that we are coming to you. Thank you for all your grace and for all your love. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. we heard about the judgment that will fall upon the world. And the whole gospel, what a blessing that we in Christ are can escape from the plague that we deserve because of our sins, and that we will remember salvation by partaking of the Lord's Supper. So we will celebrate the Lord's Supper together. And I will read Paul's word from 1 Corinthians 11 about the Lord's Supper. And you can follow along in your Bibles or on the screen. And he writes like this: I've written myself from the Lord what I've under with you. Yeah. So this is an opportunity for Christians to celebrate and remember what Christ has done for us. So it's open for everyone who's Christians, who have repented, believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and are baptized, and have are in the right standing with their with God and their own church. So if it does not describe you, let the bread and wine just pass by you, and think of Jesus' death while you watch when we take the Lord's Supper. So me and Dennis will give out the Lord's Supper during the next song that we will sing. We will take the Lord's Supper after the song. So now we'll sing He Will Hold Me Fast. faith, and before we do this, we will also confess, as Christians have done in all times, the apostolic confession of faith that gives an expression of our faith. So we'll read this together in Swedish. På Gud Fader, smäktig, himmelens och jordens skapare. Vi tror också på Jesus Kristus, hans enfödde son, vår Herre, vilken är avlad den heliga jungfrun Maria, pinad under Pontius Pilatus, korsfäst, död och begraven, nederstigen till dödsriket, på tredje dagen uppstånden igen, döda, uppstigen till himlen, sittande på allsmäktig Gud Faders högra sida, därifrån igenkommande till att döma levande och döda. Vi tror också på den helige ande, en helig allmänlig kyrka, det heliga samfund, syndernas förlåtelse, de dödas uppståndelse och ett evigt liv. Amen. So the night the Lord Jesus was betrayed, he took a bread, broke it and said, "This is my body, which is being given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also he took the cup after the supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And we have done this now in the Lord's Supper. And symbolically we would drink of the Lord Jesus who lives in us, and be reminded that we are in him, that we belong to him. But not just that we belong to him, but we are united to him in his death and resurrection. And we'll sing one last song, "Not yet I, but through Christ in me." So let us sing together and praise the Lord.